Are you ready to go into the Word this morning? Yeah, sorry, let me get my deal. If you wouldn't mind, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Do you think we could all quote it together? For unto us, let's say it together, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Has anybody read your Bible? Let's start it again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and of his, How many of you think it's government or kingdom? There shall be no end. In other words, how many of you know forever? Okay. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Bud, are you reading? Okay. Okay. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Is that it? Okay. We good? All right, let's bow for a benedictory prayer and we'll leave. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Now, if you wouldn't mind, go to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. This is the third week of Advent. So we have three candles that are lit so far. So today, the joy candle got lit. And then next week, can you believe it's already here? Next week, we'll light the fourth candle, which is what? Love. Everybody say love, okay? And then, of course, on Christmas Eve here at our service at 6 o'clock, I encourage you to come out if you have never done it. It's just an hour service. And then the fifth candle will be lit, which is the Christ candle. But let's read here in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Are you all there? Okay. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid, or greatly in awe. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." It's interesting, it's just a side note, but it's just interesting. Almost without fail, every time when an angel or something like that, some you know, absolutely miraculous thing like that, where an angel of the Lord appears to somebody, it's not 100%, but it's like 99% of the time, the first thing out of the angel's mouth is what? Do not be afraid, right? Why? Why would the angel of the Lord say that? Because we, how many of you know, fear is very close to all of us, right? In other words, fear of us, whatever it may be. And it's just a side note, it's not part of the Christmas message, but how many of you know that the Christian needs to stand in faith? Fear is faith in the opposite direction. If fear's dynamics are exactly the same as faith dynamics, but we need to stay in faith, not in fear. Fear and faith both are looking to something that hasn't happened yet, right? And so the angel of the Lord says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great," everybody say the next word, "joy, which shall be to all people." Notice that the angel of the Lord didn't say, "Behold, you better watch out." Right? The angel of the Lord said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, we sang this today as one of our praise and worship songs. And then the choir, you know, had a version thereof of this whole message. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Here's the thing. A lot of people have a lot of ideas about what God thinks about people. And here's one of the things that I think it's always good to always go back to, go to ground zero with. When Jesus entered, you know, his advent, his coming into this earth, what preceded that wasn't this idea of judgment, this idea of a God that's kind of mad at humanity. Was God pleased with humanity when Jesus came into the world? No, not pleased in the sense of mankind living in a godly way. In fact, probably when Jesus came, mankind was probably in one of its darker, if not darkest, moments, okay, in terms of how mankind as a whole was living. And yet, in the midst of all of that, how many of you know God could have said a lot of stuff? God could have said, I told you so, right? God could have reminded us how horrible mankind was. God could have said, you know, how far we've missed it. There's a ton of things that could have preceded this knowledge to the earth that there was coming a Savior. But what I love is that the first thing that the angel of the Lord said is, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Let's say that together. Good tidings of great joy. Doesn't that just make you smile inside? Good tidings. Good tidings. Good things. And then on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. That's the image of God that we have the privilege, the responsibility or whatever. That's the image of God that the church, Christians, should herald about God, is that His will for us on earth will bring us peace and joy. Does that mean that life on earth will just be a cakewalk? No. I mean, that's obvious, right? But what it does mean is that we always have a place to look to of what can it be? What does God want it to be? And what God wants it to be, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's another way of saying, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Amen? I just love the message of joy. Joy to the world. Somebody ought to write a song about that. Amen? The message of Christ's birth was a message that says, salvation is here, not judgment has come. Amen? Because of His birth, now man can have a relationship with God. Now think about that. This is Christianity 101, but this is stuff that we need to remind ourselves of from time to time. Because it's easy to get caught up in living and all that means. But it's important. This time of year, looking at the advent of Christ, this time of year is a time of year that it reminds us. And in fact, I really, you know, I give Doretta a tough time about, you know, decorating if you don't stand still and all of that, if you stand still too long and all that. But I really, Christmas time is my favorite time of year because it reorients us. It reorients us back to where we should get oriented to. In that when Jesus came, joy came. In fact, wherever Christ shows up, joy is right next to Him. Amen? Go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Think about, because Christ was born, we can have a relationship with God. Relationship is different than an association. Isn't that right? I like to be associated with God, but better yet, I can have a relationship with God. Amen? Because of His birth, mankind's sins are forgiven. Well, that really means a whole lot to you, doesn't it? Because of His birth, your sins, turn to your neighbor and say, your sins. Okay, say it with the kind of attitude that gets a reaction from them. Because of His birth, your sins, my sins are forgiven. Oh, think about that. That's why it's good to get reoriented. Because of His birth, our life has purpose. Most of us in here are in a family way. In fact, actually, 100% of us are. All of us have family. Okay, the issue is maybe how close or how whole or how whatever that family may be. But isn't it wonderful that because of His birth, now all of a sudden, not only do we have our sins forgiven, we have a relationship with God, not only do we have purpose for life, but how many of you know that then families can be made whole? Amen? Oh, the family being made whole may not look like just the the natural family or whatever, but how many of you know that things like the family of God? I don't know about you, but for me and for our family, for almost 27 years now, this May will be 27 years, this family is like our family. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. So let's look. Acts 8:5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. My point was, wherever Christ shows up, joy is right there, okay? The multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Look at verse 8. And there was great, everybody say it, great joy in that city. Peter preached Christ, demonstrated Christ, and what was the result? Joy. Everybody say joy. In fact, you can't say joy without the end. Your lips get this curve called a smile. Joy. Try to say joy and look like an old sourpuss. You can't. Well, yeah, you probably can. In fact, some of you are quite successful. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to loosen you up a little bit. Come on. Joy came when Christ came. Joy isn't some sort of a fleeting emotion. Amen? Joy is different than happiness. Would you agree with that? Happiness is wonderful, but happiness only goes so deep. Joy surpasses happiness depth, right? In other words, we can find ourselves in maybe a tough situation. We can find ourselves in maybe a hurtful situation. Your happiness may not be peaking at the moment, but how many of you know deep down, the Christians can still have a joy in the midst of stuff that's not fun. I'll just say it that way. Nehemiah 8:10. I was reading this week, and I want to just maybe kind of bring out another thing that I just thought of, saw, whatever. We know that song, right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay, look. He said to them, this is Nehemiah 8:10, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Thank God for that. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay. Now, a couple ways to look at this. This one way, I haven't seen it quite this way before, but first of all, the joy of the Lord is a strength, is our strength. So, how many of you want to be strong? Okay, the rest of you, do you just don't care about being weak? The joy of the Lord is our strength. So, here's one thing that's true about that. Our strength is based upon, I'll just kind of expand it. The level of our strength is tied to the level of his joy. Would you agree with that? So, that's cool, because I don't think God has a bad day. Are you with me? In other words, I don't think if my strength is tied to the level of his joy, I'm the one that's in great shape with that. Because then he has an abundance of joy. Therefore, I can have an abundance of strength. Is that good? Is that good news? There's another way to look at that as well, though. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we were down in Las Vegas with Ted and Linda, one of the things that happened that we were just blessed with is our daughter and her husband also ended up being there. We didn't know it until all of our arrangements were made that, oh, we're going to be there too. Well, that was just like, yay. Yeah. This is the year that we don't get to have them with us. They're going to stay down south. There's a lot of missionary work to do down there. Okay. Just kidding. Anyhow, so, you know, we got to see him, of course, with Monique's wedding and all that. So we were thankful, but this was just a special deal. Well, our daughter and her husband, they weren't a team, but both of them roped in this thing called a World Series of Roping. So it was a big, big event. Thousands of teams. It was just crazy amount of people. So one afternoon, we got to go watch them do their deal. And I always get ribbed in our family that when they take a picture, they always say, "Dad, smile." And I'm like, "I am smiling." You know, and they go, "No, you're not." It's like, "Yes, I am." And, you know, how many of you know the picture will tell the truth? And really, if you look, you can always see a smile on me. You might have to look hard. But anyhow, there was a picture in my mind. I'm smiling. There was a picture that they took during this roping of us sitting in the stands watching them rope. And it made it on Facebook. And there's already been umpteen comments made about my expression. It's like, the expression is like, "Everybody else is happy. What happened to Pastor Lynn?" It's like, "I'm happy too." Whatever. Okay. I'm just, whatever. You took the picture too quick or something. I don't know. Anyhow. But there's another picture that was taken at the end of the roping that it's beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm smiling. I mean, I'm grinning from ear to ear. Our daughter roped and finished fourth. And this was one proud daddy. So I didn't even have to think about smiling then. One of the girls said, "Hey, let's take a selfie." And so, you know, whatever. The camera got out there. And I looked at the picture and I went, "See, I'm smiling." Okay, now listen. The scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So there's a whole other aspect of this that we might consider. Just might consider. My daughter's strength of doing well in this roping brought a ton of joy to her daddy. Amen? I mean, it didn't even take me, I didn't have to think about it. I'd already picked her up and swung her around and pulled her off the ground and said, "That's my baby." Everybody on the way out knew that girl that roped, that they were talking about how good she was roping, everybody knew that that was my daughter. Because there was five rotations. That's quite a few people to come out, and you're one of the fourth ones. And a girl. Anyhow, so stop and think about this. Her, if we were to just liken this, okay, it's kind of a human deal about this, but I'm the Lord, Dad, and her strength of what she did brought me joy. So think about that. I'll say it another way. Our strength in walking out the Christian life certainly brings glory to God. But maybe, just maybe. I'm not saying this as a dogmatic deal. I was just thinking about this week because of that. Because I knew I was going to be talking about joy. Nehemiah is where the song comes from. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I thought, you know what? It brings glory. And I'll even say joy when we're living life for Him strong. Does that make sense? That there's something about that. You know, God's far superior than a human reaction. Okay, so I get that. So theologically, I get that. But if I could, you know, just paint it out to where we could get it, is when I was walking out of that deal, in fact, when we were watching this roping, there's just hundreds of people. I mean, just wall-to-wall people. But the people around me, whenever our daughter came out and went, because there wasn't tons of girls, there was other girls, but, you know, all the girls were dressed differently, and so they recognized. So whenever our daughter went, all the people around us go, "Oh, watch this gal. This gal's phenomenal." Of course, what do you think I did? Yeah, that's my baby. That's our daughter. I was bursting at the seams. The announcer referred to as the sticky chick, the sticky chicky, because he said she can stick it on them. I wanted to stand up and say, "Yep, that's my daughter." But I didn't. Here's the thing. When we're doing life strong, okay, I understand that we can have some weak moments, okay? I can understand that we can have some tough times. But overall, when we're strong, if I could just say it this way, I just think it makes God just burst at the seams that He's proud. Because how we're doing it, life in Him brings honor and glory to Him. Does that make sense at all? It was just a different deal that I just meditated on quite a bit. Psalms 5:11. Let's read some other. "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let also those also who love your name be joyful in you. How many of you know serving Christians ought to be the most joyful people in the whole world? Seriously. I mean, okay, I understand. Christians, we can go through some tough times, but from a big picture, if the world looks at God's children and only sees sourpusses, something's wrong. The world ought to look to the church to see how to do life in a whole bunch of ways. But one of the hallmarks that the world ought to be able to look at when they look at the church is, boy, that's a joyful bunch of people. Do you believe that? I really believe that. I really do. Where do we go to get this joy? Well, first of all, whenever Christ comes, joy comes. So if you've received Jesus Christ into your heart, Christ has come, joy ought to be present. Amen. If you're always having a tough time, you're always on the bottom side of life, I just want to encourage you, reorient yourself. Get it figured out. Listen, Christ came, joy's there. Let's be joyful. Amen. Go to his words, Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So listen, if you're having a tough time being joyful, get a little bit more word in you. Amen? Just go to God's word, begin to get it. Find them. As it said, Jeremiah says, your words were found and I ate them. And what does that mean? It doesn't just mean your words were found and I read them. It says your words were found and I ate them. In other words, let's get the word of God, not just look at it, but let's get the word of God and then ingest it. And how many of you know you are what you eat? Let's get the word of God down on the inside of us. And I just say this, when we do, I can guarantee you that your joy level will begin to rise. Amen. In his presence, Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures evermore. So listen, if we're having a tough time being joyful, let's get the word inside of us and let's hang around God in his presence. Amen. Something begins to happen on the inside of us. Psalms 27:6. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Another source, not only his word, his presence, but the church. Everybody say the church. What the psalmist is talking about is worshiping in his tabernacle. And that's a corporate place of gathering. So listen, if you're having a tough time with your joy, get the word of God, hang around God, and listen, hang around God's people. Amen? John 15:11, and we'll close with this. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy, everybody say my joy. Of course, this is his joy. So he's got, I think he's doing a great job with joy, would you say? All right? That my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be present. No, it says that your joy may be full. In other words, God just doesn't want one part per million, you know, joy to, you know, two parts of joy to, you know, 5 million parts of other stuff. No, no, no. He wants it to just be, our joy to just be overflowing. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I get that. And there's times that, you know what, the church can come around you and help out during those tough times. But at the end of the day, how many of you know the principal hallmark of our life can be one that we're filled with joy? Amen. Praise the Lord.